Welcome to The Word Made Plain with Senior Pastor Tony Clark of Calvary Chapel Newport News in Virginia. Currently, Pastor Tony is teaching a study in the book of Acts. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 21.
All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 17 to 21. As we continue to go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through the book of Acts on Sunday mornings, and as you know, we're in the book of Joshua on Wednesdays, and just very thankful of going through the New Testament on Sundays, the Old Testament on Wednesdays, and just getting that word in us. And Father, it's with great thanks that you didn't leave us to try to figure this thing out on our own. But Lord, that you have given us this word to lead, teach, and guide us into all truth. And so, Lord, we pray today that your Holy Spirit would teach us and guide us today. You would lead us by your Holy Spirit, God. You would lead us into all truth, and that you will reveal the secrets of our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. The title of this message is Open Prison Doors. Open Prison Doors. Now, there is nothing more devastating than being sent to prison. To have your freedoms taken away from you. To be separated from your families and your family members and friends. To be separated from your home and what you know as normal. There's nothing more devastating. But at the same time, there is nothing more joyful than being set free, than to have those doors open up to you. And I believe in these verses, we're going to see how the apostles were wrongfully put into prison and how God miraculously set them free. This is very critical for us to study. Because whether you believe it or not, there are many of you came here with prison clothes on. You came here in spiritual prison to something. And the Lord is here to set you free. And we're going to study in these verses. Now, we left off last time with an excitement at the miraculous things God was doing through the apostles, according to verse 12. Believers were increasingly added to the Lord in verse 14, and people started bringing their sick relatives and friends into the streets so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on them, according to verse 16. I was thinking about this yesterday, and I was thinking about this. I was like, when was the last time you brought some family members and friends sick with the disease called sin, and you brought them here so that at least the shadow of Jesus might fall on them and see them made whole, the same way you were made whole? When was the last time you brought someone that you know are in this condition? All you got to do is close your eyes and say, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and you can pick someone that is sick with the disease called sin. And Jesus wants to set people free. And I was thinking about that on yesterday. So the word got out about this, that multitudes gathered from surrounding cities, hoping that those sick and tormented by unclean spirits might be delivered, according to verse 16. Now, surely everyone in the religious community were excited about all these things done in and through the church, right? Well, look at verses 17 and 18. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Now, with the rapid spread and excitement of the church, the high priest rose up, who very well could have been either Annas or Caiaphas, who was in office until around AD 36. See, Annas was the high priest recognized by the people, and Caiaphas, his son-in-law, was appointed high priest by Rome. So both of them were the high priest at the same time. And because they were the high priest, they belonged to the Sadducees, who were the liberal religious leaders, according to verse 17 in that portion that is in the parenthesis. And they were not excited about what God was doing through the church. Instead, they were filled with indignation. I want to draw your attention to this word indignation. The Greek word is zelos, and it means jealousy or envy. It carries the idea of a type of jealousy that a husband has for his wife. And so instead of them being filled with excitement over what God was doing through the church, they were filled with jealousy and envy of them. The Lord keeps placing this on my heart, and I keep trying to get past it, but he won't let me get past it. If this word, zelos, is a word that means, it describes the jealousy that a husband has over his wife, the part that the Lord keeps placing upon my heart that I can't get past is that there are many religious leaders who are the same way, jealous over church members. Jealous as if these church members belong to you. This is why I never tell people, my church. You won't ever hear me say that. I remember one time that slipped out of my mouth and I was mortified by it. You're not my people. You my people. But you're not my people. I didn't die for any of you. Jesus died for you. So you belong to him. So how dare that I get a jealousy or envy over you as if you're my people or as if I would have for my wife or something. So it wasn't right that they were in this position. It wasn't right that they were feeling this way. A type of jealousy or an envy. And instead of them being excited about what the Lord was doing through the church, they were filled with jealousy and envy. And their jealousy drove them to lay hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison, according to verse 18. Well, I have to ask us this question. Has your jealousy and envy caused you to do this to someone? Jealous of someone who got a position you thought you should have gotten. Jealous over someone who married someone you thought you should have married. And what you do is you put them in the common prison of your mind and heart. And every time you see them, you talk to them and treat them like a common prisoner. And you're the warden. Sad part is that we as Christians allow this type of behavior in the church. And unfortunately, I have to admit, people of my ilk, we as pastors, are envious of other pastors and what God is doing in the church across town. Jealous and envious of what God is doing, and we put these pastors and churches in our common prison. And we talk about them badly. Why? Because we're the warden of the common prison. And we put them in. Like we see in these verses. And I'm ashamed to say I've done this myself. And other pastors, we do it. Oh, I've heard all kind of things that folks have said about our church. Hey, some of it was true. Some of it I just got to take. Because the church is made up of people. And people are tripped. Not everybody's saved to come here. Not everybody's walking with the Lord. People at different levels in their walk with the Lord, and they fool around and just, hey. So some of it was true. I ain't going to lie. I ain't going to try to, you know, hey, don't be sharing that. No, some of it was true. I just had to say, high five, yeah, you're right. But we do this. So what happens when you're the prisoner in someone else's prison? What can happen? Look at verses 19 and 20. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. The conjunction but that starts verse 19 is contrasting what was said in verses 17 and 18. The apostles were arrested and put in prison by the jealous Sadducees, but at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out according to verse 19. Now, how ironic that God used an angel to open the prison doors when Acts 23 and verse 8 says that the Sadducees denies anything, they deny anything that is miraculous, and they deny the existence of angels. See, it doesn't matter what prison a person tries to put us in, because they're jealous of us, God is able to free us, like we see in these verses. See, when someone puts us in their common prison because they are jealous of us, God will free us, and they end up the prisoner. God has freed us and leaves these people as prisoners. And you've heard it say many times in many different ways, envy, jealousy, unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, all of this is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die when we are the ones who end up dying from it. In the same way, the people who try to put us in their own prison because they're jealous and envious of us, they end up the prisoner. Now, did this angel free them and tell them to go and hide out somewhere? No, he said in verse 20 to go, stand in the temple, and speak to the people all the words of this life. Oh, there's three things I want to bring to your attention from this particular verse alone. Number one, I love it how the angel told them to go and tell the people all the words of this life. I want to draw your attention to the word life. Yes, this refers to eternal life that Jesus gives to all who repent of their sins and accepts him as their Lord and Savior. However, there is an abundant life that Jesus wants us to experience as well. John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Too many Christians are not experiencing the abundant life that Jesus offers. And please, please don't equate abundant life to having a bunch of material or monetary things. Jesus offers an abundant life that is filled with love and joy and peace and long-suffering, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and kindness, and self-control. All of the things that Galatians 5 in verses 22 and 23 talks about. Something money and material things can never buy. Why I bring this up? Because a lot of Christians lack joy. You're sour. You're sour. And I'm here to tell you, I'm your friend. I'm here to tell you, you're sour. You're a sourpuss. And unfortunately, I have to look at your face every Sunday and Wednesday, and you have that look on your face. You don't realize it. You're sour. You're a sour person. You lack joy. You lack peace in your life. You're just filled with confusion. You don't know what direction to turn. You don't have wisdom on what to do. You lack peace. You lack kindness. You're mean and nasty. I see it. Now, some of you are trying to smile now. And your face is cracking, and so you're trying to. You're mean and nasty. You lack gentleness. You're harsh and cruel. The way you talk to your wife, the way you speak to your children, you're harsh, and you're cruel. And please, please, and there's a lack of self-control that you exhibit. You're out of control with your eating. You're out of control with your weight. You're out of control with all kinds of things. You lack self-control, which God is part of the abundant life that the Lord gives us, that he wants us, his people, to experience. So Jesus wants to give us an abundant life where we experience these qualities in our lives in abundance. That's why it's called abundant life. So kind of crazy folks, children of God, Christians, addicted to all kinds of things, when the Spirit is supposed to give us self-control. We're supposed to be different. And we're no different. We're hooked on all kinds of medicines and mess and things, just like the world, that there's no difference between us. Because we're not experiencing the abundant life that Christ offers. Now, some of you need to be on that medicine. Don't be fooling around. Said Pastor Tony said, get off that medicine. You stay on that medicine until that doctor tells you. I'm just trying to tell you, don't be fooling around, coming up in here tripping out and all wired up and stuff. The watchman going to escort you right on out of here and tell you, as they boot you out, go get your medicine. So don't be fooling around. But I'm just saying that there should be a difference in us and the world. And there's no difference. The second thing I want you to see is that the angel said, go and tell the people all of the words of this life. I want to draw your attention to the word all. All the words, not some of them. And this is why at Calvary Chapels we're committed to giving you all the words that pertain to this life according to the Word of God, the Bible. All 66 books. All contains all of the words of this life. This is why we teach it chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book by book, from Genesis to Revelation. Because in these 1,189 chapters, 31,102 verses, contains all of the words of this life. And this is why we teach it all. Other churches got other things going on. That's okay. That's what God led them to do. But for us, this is what we're doing. From Genesis, and I love how one person said, from Genesis to the maps. The maps in the back. From Genesis to the maps. We're gonna teach it all to you, because they all contain the words of this life. The third thing I want you to see is the angel told them to go. Notice that. Go. We have been given the same mandate to go. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20 says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Watch verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I know God is with us. As we teach you all things that pertain to this life, that pertain to this book, I know God will be with me as I teach every verse that's in this book. He will be with me. He says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So he told us to go. Mark 16, verse 15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Many people, they try to get real spiritual to justify their laziness and to justify their disobedience to go. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord to lead me to go. He told you to go 2,000 years ago. How much leading do you need? He said go 2,000 years ago. And you waiting on him to lead you to go? He told you. He's not going to lead you because he already told you 2,000 years ago to go. 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 So as we can see, we have been given the command to go as well. Notice it's not a suggestion. It's a command to go as well, giving people all the words that pertain to this life. The question is, did the apostles go? Or did they do what we would have done? We would have ran out of that prison, ran home, and hid somewhere. Well, look at verse 21. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. Now, as we can see from this verse, that they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. They didn't wait until noon, notice that. Or in the evening after they went home, sat around and fooled around a bit. No, it said that they went to the temple early in the morning and taught. Oh, it has been rightfully said, the greatest nation in the world is procrastination. We have a bad tendency to say, Lord, thank you for opening up the prison doors for me to get out of this abusive relationship. Or thank you, Lord, for opening up the prison doors and setting me free from this habit, this hobby, or this addiction. I promise I will start back going to church and reading my Bible. Pretty soon, Lord, soon. Soon I will. Procrastination is one of the biggest problems in Christianity today, especially here in America. God gently speaks to our hearts to turn off the TV and spend time in prayer and reading the Bible. And we say, okay, Lord, okay, but I will, but let me first finish up this movie or this game or this show. Then we never do it. Or before we go to sleep, God whispers to our hearts to read the Bible before we get in bed, and we jump in and says, I will read, but tomorrow. Or I will get more involved at church, but when the announcement comes to sign up, we say, well, maybe next time. This is a major problem in the church today. Too many people are citizens of the nation called procrastination. We see examples of this, a couple of examples. Matter of fact, Jesus tells us a couple of examples of procrastination in Luke chapter 9 in verses 57 to 62. When Jesus asked someone to follow him, he replied in Luke 9 verse 59, he says, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus replied in the next verse in Luke 9 verse 60, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Now on the surface, we would say, man, Jesus, you mean, you kind of tough. You won't even let this man go bury his father and go to his father's funeral. What's that? That's mean and harsh. No, it's not. You have to understand, his father wasn't dead. He was saying, whenever my father dies, whenever that'll be, and I get to spend my inheritance that he left behind, then I will come and follow you. Another citizen of procrastination. And I thought about this. I said, oh, how family has kept a lot of people from following the Lord. Family and family obligations have caused many people to procrastinate in their obligations to God. Some people we don't see all summer long because of family obligations. Hey, can you serve in the children's ministry? Can you serve as being one of the greeters, parking lot, ushers, or something? No, not right now, because we have these trips planned, and when we return, then we have our sports activities all summer. Hey, come hit me up in the fall. Procrastination. Jesus saw another individual in Luke 9, verse 61, and said, follow me. And they said, Lord, I will, but let me first go and bid farewell to everyone at my house. But Jesus replied in Luke 9 and verse 62, he says, no one having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And once again, on the surface, Jesus sounds insensitive. He won't even let this man go and say goodbye to those in his house. He just said, follow me and just forget them. He won't even let them go and say goodbye. Oh, hold up. You got to understand something. In this culture, when someone was leaving home, their relatives would throw them a going away party that could last for days or weeks. So this man was saying, I will follow you, but let me first finish partying. And once I have this out of my system, then I will come and follow you. And how many people have procrastinated in this area? Let me first party and get this out of my system and sow my wild oats
If the Word Made Plain has been a source of inspiration and encouragement to you, why not consider becoming a Word Made Plain giving partner to keep this listener-supported program on the air? As a giving partner, you join forces with Calvary Chapel Newport News' kingdom vision of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can make your tax-deductible gift online at calvarynn.org or send your gift of any amount to 15553 Warwick Boulevard, Newport News, Virginia 23608. And receive a gift from Calvary Chapel Newport News as our thank you. In addition to your financial support, we ask that you pray for the Word Made Plain broadcast, that it touches hearts and generates change in the lives of people around the world. We pray you've been blessed by God's Word today and hope you'll tune in next time to hear the Word Made Plain.